Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. Several dozen City University of New York faculty members were arrested in the latest of a series of escalating protests as part of a demand for salary increases. CUNY's roughly 25,000 faculty and professional staff have been without a contract since 2010 and have had no salary increases in that time. And just before the civil disobedience that they engaged in occurred, and after an announcement of a strike authorization vote, the CUNY administration finally put an offer on the table. But the Professional Staff Congress, which represents the workers, vows to keep the pressure on.
As the proposal falls far short of what is needed to pay staff decently for the important work they do, Chancellor Milliken's offer represents a failure on CUNY management's part to secure sufficient investment by New York State Governor Cuomo in the people who make college education possible for 500,000 working New Yorkers, for the immigrants and people of color in this city.
Now we go to the demonstration.
Education is a right! Fight, fight, fight! Education is a right!
Fight, fight, fight!
No contract!
No peace!
No contract!
No peace!
What do we want?
Contract!
When do we want it?
Now!
I'm at the Provincial Staff Congress demonstration at the CUNY headquarters. People are willing to be arrested here. I'm talking to two of them right now, and they are?
Jim Perlstein, retired, 43 years at Borough of Manhattan Community College.
Penny Lewis, I teach at the Murphy Institute for Labor Studies and Worker Education.
But why are you willing to be arrested, Jim?
CUNY management and the state are not taking us seriously. We've been 5 years without a contract, 6 years without a raise. My feeling is unless I'm prepared to put my body on the line, unless I'm prepared to risk something, I'm trying to make a statement about how serious I am and how serious my brothers and sisters in the union are.
Penny?
Given the incredible problems we have at CUNY, we're resource poor, tuition has been going up for the past 5 years. There's enough money in the state and enough money in the CUNY system to deliver us a decent contract. We need to put more pressure on, put more power into this campaign to get this settled. And I worry that the direction of CUNY management is going to be to continue to hike tuition and continue to privatize. And we need full public support, full state funding, and this is also a way for us to try to get the message out to the New Yorkers that I know support CUNY, that they can support our struggle, that we are supporting the students and supporting this fantastic public institution that's being eroded and taken away through underfunding and lack of a contract.
When I fight for a contract for faculty, I'm also fighting for resources for the university. And resources for the university mean resources that obviate the necessity for this constant increase in tuition. That the out that the state takes, constantly reducing its commitment to public higher education and forcing, in effect, the privatization of the institution by making students pay for their education.
And Penny, it's been a while since people have been arrested in labor demonstrations in the city. Do you think this is a new level of protest here?
It's certainly a new level of protest for us in the BSC. I mean, we had an action in Albany a couple of years ago, but it is a new level of militancy for us. Most of the other unions at this point have settled the contracts. We are one of the very last ones out in the current round.
Well, thank you both for participating in this action and for speaking with
Jim Perlstein, retiree from Borough of Manhattan Community College, 43 years at City University.
And
Penny Lewis, professor at the Murphy Institute for Worker Education and Labor Studies.
And I'm with
Nivedita Majumdar.
Then why were you willing to be arrested and what are the issues?
I am willing to be arrested because we are fighting a just fight. In the process, if it means that we have to take on the legal authorities, then we will. I don't want to be arrested, but we will if we have to.
And where do you work and what are the issues here?
I work at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. I'm a professor of English there. The issue is that for 6 years, faculty and staff at CUNY have worked without a raise. It's unconscionable. We have adjuncts who carry much of the load of teaching, and many of them are on food stamps. We have many full-time people who cannot make the rent. We are working every day to teach the youth of the city, and we deserve our fair raises. That's why I'm here.
Where's the holdup? Is it the city level or the state level?
Primarily a state level.
So it's Cuomo.
It is Cuomo, yes. I just want to add that we are here not just on our behalf, but on our students' behalf. We teach a student population that is 75% colored, and 75% of our students are colored, and for an overwhelming majority of our students, their household income is less than $30,000. This is the population that we serve, and we believe they deserve an excellent education. Our contract is that fight for education. There is no difference.
Thanks so much, and I've been talking again with
Nivedita Majumdar.
We just came down from a bargaining session. The pressure that we are applying has begun to work. And finally, an offer on the table. The pressure works. They did it only because we pressed them. But the offer that they have made to us is far below the level of inflation. It is, in fact, a salary cut. It is a decision not to invest in people of color in this city, the poor, the working class, and immigrants. So even though an offer was made putting us behind every other public employee in the state and city, even though there is an offer, we are here to demand fairness, justice, educational, labor, and racial justice. There's a long tradition in this country of taking a stand when there's a moral issue, a justice issue. And many of us here today are prepared to take a stand. Stand right here in front of the CUNY building. We are going to stay there until there is an offer worthy of our students and worthy of our work, or until we are forced to leave. So that's where we're going now.
No contract, no peace! We're moving to the front of the CUNY building. Sitting down in front of the door. Talking about the door right now.
In this building, if you refuse to disperse, you will be placed under arrest and charged with disorderly conduct.
The police just announced that they're ordering the arrest of the protesters. Now. They're leading off Barbara Bowen, the president of the local right now. She's the last one to be arrested.
Cuomo doesn't hear you. Cuomo doesn't hear you. Make the noise. November 19th, mass meeting. Don't forget, mass meeting. November 19th, Cooper Union. And November 12th, don't forget, is a student march. It's a national march to fight for free tuition. Free tuition. National march. November 12th, Hunter College, 5 p.m., mini student march. CUNY for the people! Yeah. Don't forget, today is a big day for the PSC. This is a big day. We are here. We are strong. We have one voice. We are here. We are strong. We have one voice.
no contest.
No peace.
No contest.
No peace.
Thank you to everyone who got arrested. Yay!
All right, everybody, we're going to have a CUNY student lead the rally in the chant. A CUNY student.
If we don't get it, shut it down. If we don't get it, shut it down. Students and professors, shut the city down. Students and professors, shut the city down. No contracts, no peace. No contracts, no peace.
CUNY for the people. CUNY for the people. CUNY for the people.
Well, there's no question that the CUNY students and the Professional Staff Congress have some of the best slogans I've heard, and they did it rhythmically as 50-plus workers were carried off and decided to go to the Who's Cow rather than their classrooms. And we're joined by Barbara Bowen, president of the Professional Staff Congress, CUNY. And she was the last one, as I understand it, of the group of 50 that was arrested. And Barbara, kudos to you for sticking up for what is the most really important educational system in this city. But you can say it so much better than I can. Remind us of the significance of the importance of the CUNY system and where the issue of not having a contract for over 5 years fits into the quality of education. And good evening. I'm glad they let you out on bail.
Well, actually, in the end, I followed a different protocol because I had an injury and the police had to treat me differently. So I was able to be there when each of our other people who had been under arrest came out of jail, which was really wonderful to see. And they were fabulous. It was the blockade was incredibly strong, and there was such solidarity in that group. It was really tremendous. And thank you so much for playing the sound. That was George Sanchez. We heard a faculty member at the College of Staten Island calling out CUNY for the people. And I think that's the best summary of what this is about. Our contract fight is about whether or not there's going to be meaningful, serious, quality education for the working people of New York City and the poor, the middle class, the low-income people, and the people of color in New York City. That's really what this is about, because the refusal on the part of CUNY management and on the part of New York State to invest as they should in our contract signals a decision, not just a mistake, not just a side issue, but an actual decision not to invest in the 500,000 New Yorkers for whom CUNY represents the chance of a college education. So if our contract continues not to be settled, then CUNY will continue to see academic departments finding it more and more difficult to recruit the faculty they need. We'll find faculty and professional staff deciding they just can't stay in their jobs because the salary is just not sufficient to live in New York City. And every time that happens, our students are deprived. That's what's happening. Our students are deprived. When we don't make the gains that we're seeking in this contract, which include measures that would give us more time with each student, then students at CUNY are suffering in terms of the quality of their education. So our contract fight and the student fight, as Nivedita Majumdar said on your tape, they are the same fight. And I think that's why you see the passion and the sense of moral gravity that comes across in that demonstration.
Barbara, it took a militant demonstration like this, civil disobedience and the possibility of a strike, to get the CUNY administration and the state to make an offer. What was that offer, and what kinds of things do you want in addition to that? How does it fall short?
The offer was for a 6% increase over 6 years. And increase should almost go in quotes because while it would be an increase in the dollar amount of salaries, it would actually represent a salary cut relative to the real dollar value, relative to inflation. So what was offered was a salary cut Plus, there are some other issues that CUNY management demands that they have made that they are still seeking to address. And the offer also did include recognition of the progress we've made in some non-economic negotiating sessions on other issues that have been very important to the union. So there was acknowledgement of that progress, a willingness to include those issues in a final agreement, and that's good. That's only because of the pressure we have put on consistently, but it's not enough. It will not be enough to keep the quality faculty and staff we need at CUNY, and it's not enough to address the issues we see as faculty, we see as staff, that would make the university work better for the students who rely on it. And we're not willing to give up until we get something that is worthy of our work, the important work that we've chosen to do at CUNY in tough conditions, and worthy of the dreams of our students. They should be entitled not just to a medium-rate, third-rate education or to something that is value. They should be entitled to something that fulfills their hopes for their own lives. And that's not going to happen without the quality of time and attention that they will get with the top level of faculty and staff throughout the country. That's who we need at CUNY. That's what we have been able to have, but it's not going to continue. It's already eroding under these conditions.
Barbara Bowen, president of the Professional Staff Congress, maybe you can parse out for us. I'm not quite sure how these pots of money, if you will, come into play. So on one hand, there's the issue of Chancellor Milliken and the contract that expired some five-plus years ago now. On the other hand, the role of the governor and the state in funding the CUNY system, and indeed even the city and de Blasio. So help us understand the relative roles of these three people, entities, and what's being demanded of each of them, and perhaps the politics behind their not putting up what we would certainly consider to be the fair share for maintaining this jewel in the crown, which really has historically been the CUNY system.
It has, and as you know, CUNY has been allowing generations of working class people and new immigrants to the city and increasingly people of color to have a stable life, a viable life in this system, economic system. You know, we just heard that incredible segment you did on Black Lives Matter and protest against police brutality. This is a cruel system that makes it very hard for people to survive if they don't have support and inherited support coming with them. And CUNY is one of the few instruments in New York City that give the hope of survival and stability and a good life and viability, and that's why it's so critical. The funding that comes into CUNY, it is complicated, and the one thing left out in your picture there is that increasingly the funding for CUNY comes from students themselves. 45% of the overall funding from CUNY, which, as you know, used to be free, managed to stay free throughout two world wars and a Great Depression. CUNY was free. And it is no longer free by any means, and students now carry 45% of the responsibility of funding it. And there's a proposal now coming before the CUNY board to increase that even further. So the other funding for CUNY comes from New York State. The majority of the other funding comes from New York State, about 75%, and from New York City. And the city has indicated that it is prepared to settle or to approve a contract and provide funds commensurate with the funds allocated to in other union contracts in this round. And while the state has so far not allocated one additional penny for this contract, and Chancellor Milliken, who's now had a year and a half in the job, has not succeeded in prying loose a single penny of state investment in our students' future. So when the governor can find money for other causes, including some very worthy ones, we need this governor to pay attention to CUNY and find the funding. There is funding available. The state has a surplus that's well known to allocate some of that funding so that there can be a respectable, modest, decent academic salary at the City University of New York that will allow people to choose and stay and work well at CUNY.
Barbara, I wanted to highlight the conditions of the adjuncts in the system, which seems to me at least that their numbers are growing proportionately, and many of them are living in poverty.
Yes, I mean, the prevalence or the reliance on adjuncts who are, at least as we describe them at CUNY, they're both part-time workers and they're contingent workers or faculty who are both on part-time appointments, and also they're contingent in that they don't know if they're going to have another appointment next semester or the one after that. More than half of the teaching now is done by adjuncts, and that is really the biggest sign of the massive withdrawal of support in terms of funding from the City University of New York, because CUNY has found a way to do its main job, which is teaching, on the cheap. I mean, that's all there is to it. State aid to the four-year colleges, where the state primarily sends its funding, has dropped 35% since 1991. That's more than a third. So how does an institution cope with losing a third of its public money? It charges the students more, and it cuts the cost of the main activity it does, teaching. So now more than half the courses at CUNY are taught by people who earn maybe a third of the amount per course of the full-time faculty. The full-time faculty have other responsibilities, have research appointments, have other things. That is absolutely true. But to expect CUNY students to be educated primarily by people who are on a poverty wage from CUNY is outrageous. Right away, that tells you that there's been a failure to invest in these students. Whatever professions are made publicly about how much the rising immigrant class, the working people, the people of color of New York matter to this state, the real proof of how much they matter is in the investment in CUNY, and that proof shows us that there is no serious commitment to the future of this group.
President Bowen, I go back to the fights over open enrollment, open admission. I remember that my father got his education from CUNY when it didn't cost anything. I actually got my law degree from the CUNY system, et cetera. So it's an enormously personally important system. In the minute or two that we have left, what are some of the non-monetary demands, and where does the Professional Staff Congress go from here to realize a decent, a fair contract?
Okay, let me just pick one of the non-monetary, which is to give additional job security to adjuncts who have served CUNY a long time and are heavily committed to working there. Our adjuncts in general don't know if they're going to be teaching from one semester to the next. We think that is cruel. Not all are doing CUNY work as their primary work. Some have other jobs, but there is a core group of several thousand adjuncts who are primarily doing their life's work at CUNY, and they deserve a longer-term appointment. They deserve some measure of security so that students know who's going to be teaching them next semester, so students can reach that faculty member when they want to come back and get a recommendation. It's insane to have a whole teaching corps where the students don't have guaranteed continuing access to those people. So that's a key place that we are pushing. And what can we do next? I think we've shown through the powerful organizing that we've done and the commitment, you heard it in the voices of members, that we are prepared to fight for this, because it's a racial justice issue, it's a labor justice issue, it's an educational justice issue, and the people who came to CUNY to work there came because we believed in what CUNY could be and should be. We believe in that. We believe in that mission. That's why we're here at CUNY. So we're prepared to fight so that that mission can have some meaning and not be undermined and eviscerated by an agenda that is to withdraw support from the working people and people of color in this state.
Well, we want to make sure that we see you next time in the classroom and not in the jail cell. No reason our educators should have to go to jail to get a fair contract that they've been struggling for over 5 years. The CUNY system, as I said, is our gem in the crown, and so much rests on it. We'd like to thank our valiant sisters and brothers and make sure that we will stay on top of this struggle until you do have a fair contract. And we've been speaking with Barbara Bowen, president of the Professional Staff Congress. Barbara, thanks for your commitment. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.